Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We like quarterback talk on these airwaves, and we like lists, and we like rankings. And this was a juicy one that made its way into the old Twitter timeline. If you follow at SandoNFL, you get all the good stuff from Mike Sando, a long-time NFL guy who for a while has been putting together this piece on quarterback tiers, and the 2019 version is now out, and he joins us now on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Good to talk to you, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Well, this was fascinating to me because of how thorough the process is. It's not just you. It's not just a couple anonymous scouts. 55 NFL coaches and executives did this by placing all veteran starting quarterbacks into one of five tiers. And then we got some actual insights here without the executives and coaches being named. It was interesting to me a little bit to see some disconnect between the tier ranking and what was said about the quarterbacks. And my conclusion is, I guess, there are plenty of good quarterbacks in the NFL right now. Is that fair?
Yeah. I mean, really, when you look at, you know, okay, Bortles leaves the starting lineups and we got Foles coming in, or you have Mahomes ascending, you have Mayfield coming in. A year ago, we're asking about Tyrod Taylor, you know. So, you know, even guys like Wentz and Goff, who are good young players, they have other guys sort of almost crowding them out. Deshaun Watson, all these guys ascending. So I think the state of the position is better for sure. And part of that, too, is the old guys aren't leaving. You know, if you look at the guys in the top tier, there's a bunch of Riverses and Roethlisberger and Brady and Rodgers who are up there but still commanding respect.
Of course, this town is going to keep scrolling until they find Mitchell Trubisky, who's the subject of all kinds of debates. And when I looked at the system here, you weighted the averages here or found the averages of the number of Tier 2 votes, Tier 3 votes, Tier 4 votes, et cetera, and just to find so it's not really so much a rating of various skills or in like a video game or fantasy style. So that has to do with the way the math works out, but there is not with Mitch Trubisky ending up 25th behind Eli Manning, 24th in Tier 3. I'm sorry. There is no way in this world. I'm not here to pick a fight with you or with anybody involved here. There's no way in this world Mitchell Trubisky is not a better quarterback right now than Eli Manning.
Well, I'm not going to argue with that either. The evaluation of Trubisky is harder when a disproportionate amount of your production on offense is by running with your own legs. And by the way, you have to score about 15 points to win the game, which Eli Manning actually can do. That's why it took a while for even Russell Wilson to get his due in this, because they had a great defense and running game. They weren't asking him to win the game. So I would look at Trubisky in the bigger arc. So last year he was in the poll. And there were 28, I had 50 voters last year, 28 put him in the fourth tier and basically said, I don't have enough information, and from what I've seen, I'm not excited enough to move him above that. So think of that. Last year, there's 28 of the votes in the fourth tier. This year, there's only 10 in the fourth tier. So he had a big shift up. His average last year was 3.54. This year, it's 3.07. So he's already, without even two full years of a starter, in the Andy Dalton middle of the pack range. Really, you're not far away. So the 24 or 25 ranking sounds horrific. I mean, you're like, are you kidding me? They're dissing on them. They're putting them late in the rankings. But everyone is so closely bunched in that tier range that there's not a lot of difference between them. So look at the tier more than you look at the rank.
And we should also mention that Trubisky received 6 votes in the second tier. Is that 6 more than he did last year?
And last year he got one in the second tier, just somebody who was extremely optimistic on him and liked him. And people do like him. I mean, it's just they're not loving him the way they love, like, a Baker Mayfield, right? People are pretty sure on Baker Mayfield that he can. There's not a limitation. I think there's some people who wonder, that having seen a little bit less of Trubisky, obviously didn't play a ton in college, and then hasn't been. You know, they haven't really put the gas down offensively. They haven't had to. Whereas I think last year in Cleveland, hey, the pressure was off, but the offense was open, and we're going to throw it all over the yard. So people got to see that with Trubisky. You know, it's still, we're seeing it in stages here. I think he's trending in the right direction, but you're right. There's not just an overwhelming excitement where people are betting on him in the second tier like they are with some other guys.
How much of it, too, is because of just the fundamental nature of coaches and maybe executives, but more so coaches, that sort of small C conservatism that the old guys or what they know, what they've seen, you know, early on when the Bears were bad and it's John Fox and nobody's watching the Bears. I don't know how much of a look some of these guys got. Don't you think that in a system like this, the way you've done it and talking to these guys, that they're going to err on the side of the known knowns?
Well, they're hard graders in, like, they really have to be convinced. It, unless they love the guy coming out. So I can work both ways. So, like, when Luck came out, people were so high on him that he had to, like, almost tick you off to fall. You know what I mean? Trubisky came out, and it was a little bit more of a split. I mean, no one just absolutely loved him and thought he was the next John Elway. People were kind of intrigued by him. And from what they've seen so far, they're not, like, jumping off the bandwagon, but they're not really jumping on it either. They're sort of, you know, looking at him until he proves that he's more than what they thought he was, which was a, you know, a good prospect, but not a great one. And look at his class. I mean, are we sitting here saying that we'd rather have him than, you know, Watson or Mahomes? I don't think anyone's saying that.
What does it say that not a single tier one quarterback, and if people want me to read them off here, that in order, they're Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Patrick Mahomes, Andrew Luck, Philip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger, and Russell Wilson. Not a single one was a unanimous tier one. They all got at least some votes for the second tier.
Yep, and that's new for Rodgers and Brady have been unanimous before. I think some of the stuff that went on there in Green Bay, a couple guys were like, I don't like how the feel here, and he's been injured. But you're right, there's debate even among the top guys. So Russell Wilson makes it in the top tier, but it's almost 50-50. I mean, he barely makes it. There's maybe one or two or three more votes in the top tier than in the second. So it's a tough crowd, and I think most people in the league, if you've been around, realize that most of these guys need a lot of help, and it's that top group needs less. You know, and so for Trubisky, people are looking and saying, hey, right there, the defense makes it easy. Okay, then you got the scheme that's pretty friendly. They're not having him just drop back to pass in the pocket without a bunch of bells and whistles and having him slay the defense. And they shouldn't. I mean, they're being smart with them. But until you do that, like even a Russell Wilson, when he had the good defense and the good running game, people were not putting him in the top tier. This is his first year in the top tier because he's had 2 years now where the defense wasn't as good and they were still a playoff team. If the Bears fall off to the middle of the pack on defense and go to the playoffs, Trubisky plays a role in that, he's going to be climbing really fast. He just hasn't done that yet.
Talking with Mike Sando on the Lawrence Holmes Show with Bernstein and McKnight sitting in today, just so we have the definitions here, Tier 1, a Tier 1 quarterback can carry his team each week. The team wins because of him. He expertly handles pure passing situations. And you contrast that with Tier 2, a Tier 2 quarterback can carry his team sometimes, but not as consistently. He can handle pure passing situations in doses and or possesses other dimensions that are special enough to elevate him above Tier 3. He has a hole or two in his game. And maybe in the aging process, some are more likely to be honest and see that or not.
Yep. So, like, you know, Matt Ryan and Matt Stafford have just been classic twos. You know, they get the most votes in the second category. Andy Dalton is the classic three. He gets the most votes. He just went over time. He's going to be a three every time. That's sort of, and the fourth tier will be either a young guy like Trubisky last year, or for some people this year, you haven't seen enough. You're not saying he's bad. Or it could be Ryan Fitzpatrick, who we've seen enough of, and you'd be fine having him start the first half of your season, but you don't want to really go all the way through. No one really gets a tier five, but that would be like, you know, you're starting, you know, your backup, basically someone who doesn't have any prospects.
Now, would you
as a starter?
did this 6 years ago. What is it about this tier system that seems to work? Because in one respect, I would think it's kind of arbitrary to do it this way. But does it allow for maybe a better participation rate from your survey group because of the ease with which they're able to vote, or their coaches' understanding of it, where they don't have to do math, they don't have to sort of rank guys? Is this a product of you meeting your voters halfway?
Well, it's really a product of me listening to people in the league about how to differentiate between the quarterbacks. And, you know, those tiers are defined by them. I've done the research in asking the guys in the league what they think each sort of level of quarterback play is. And I debate with a couple of my contacts, you know, should there even be a fifth tier? Some people think there's really just four, and for practical purposes, there probably is just four. But four is a really nice number because there's not that middle ground bailout one. You know what I mean? You have to sort of put someone in the upper or the starting to be in the lower half, and it does work well, but it reflects the way people see the quarterbacks.
Do you do this via email or phone?
Phone and in person. It just depends. You know. As my network's grown, there's more people that I'm talking to. I mean, my phone's rung a couple times since we've been on the line, and you know, I actually had more than 55. Just some guys got them in late, or they're on vacation, or they called me, or whatever. But I went from 26 people the first year I did it to 55 now. I probably could have 75 if I really wanted to push and get more and more. But I think 50, 55 is a great number.
Do they enjoy it? I mean, because we sort of get this sense that, like, it's just the fans and fantasy football players and sports radio hosts and listeners that like making lists and doing the comparison and contrasts. Yeah. But they wouldn't do it if they didn't like it, right?
Yeah, they do like it. You know, and I think that makes it easier to do. You know, guys find the exercise fun. And if they're doing it for the first time, they sort of, it's a good sort of way to look at the league. They enjoy that, and they love seeing like how they differ or compare to the rest of the group. So I'll sometimes give guys a comparison, you know, of, okay, here's what the composite average is. Here's the five guys you're high on and the five guys you're low on, you know, which you could do yourself. You should fill out your own, you know, and just sort of see where you've got guys. And, you know, I bet you if you did it yourself, you know, maybe Trubisky comes in at 18 or 19, but he's not going to come in at 10. You know what I mean? We're sort of seeing this the same way, with just a little bit of, you know, variation within a very small group. I tell people, it's like, hey, if you had, you know, in the tier three, everybody's between 6'2" and 6'4", and there's 20 of them, and we're ranking them by height. At the end of the day, one guy's going to be 19th, but he's only an inch and a half shorter than the guy who's second.
Since you've been doing this, who have been the highest variance? You know, I look at a guy like Jameis Winston at 22, who had 6 votes in tier 2, 8 votes in tier 4, and then 41 votes in tier 3. Who are some names that stand out? Are guys that were you just couldn't get a handle on what the league thought of them?
Well, Derek Carr's been very volatile to where people thought very highly of him a few years ago and were betting on him, and now they're not. So that's been more of a variance over a lot of years. You know, I think guys like Eli Manning will get votes in the second and fourth tier. And when he gets in a second, you're like, is that just people? It's not that many, but are they just overvaluing the fact that he won a couple Super Bowls? Or, you know, it's sort of like, when the Hall of Fame debate comes for Eli, there's going to be people who think he belongs in the Hall of Fame, people who don't at all. You know, he's going to be somewhat polarizing because ultimately we're trying to separate how much of it is the quarterback and how much of it is the team. And in some cases, that's hard to do. Like a Joe Flacco has settled into the third tier, but he's been a guy who was all over the map because some people thought it was all that defense and run game. And other people said, wait a minute, in the playoffs, he lit it up. So there's room to disagree on what some of those guys are who've been in certain situations where it's harder to kind of differentiate and divide the credit.
Could you expand the exercise to other positions, or is there something unique about quarterback that allows it to be done just this way for that spot?
I've thought about it, but I think it would muddy the waters. I do think it sets up naturally for this position more, and I think the quarterbacks more than guys that are positioned dictate whether you win or lose the game, so it's a little bit more relevant. As we see at running back, you can have a committee or you can have a superstar, and you know, you may not be that much different on the bottom line. If you have a tier 1 versus a tier 4 quarterback, going to show up in your record for sure.
I'm also thinking in any way that we evaluate quarterbacks, I always have to be very, very careful to understand that rating is just a rating of passing efficiency. And it's a position that we've measured in large part, not really thinking about some of what isn't measured quite as well of keeping plays alive and picking up first downs, making plays with the legs. As the game is changing, and you mentioned all these old guys here, but as the RPO game is coming in, the game is getting schemed a bit more collegiately, or the barriers between the college game and the pro game are breaking down, and we're seeing all sorts of new things, are we going to be agreed upon, coaches, commentators, observers, in a way to get a better handle on the value of quarterbacks based on everything that they do?
Yeah, I think so. And I think there's going to be more successful quarterbacks because of the adaptability in the NFL. And I think they're throwing the ball so much in college that that's got to help the passing game in the NFL. I do think ultimately, as long as the game has four downs and is like this, there's still going to be times when the quarterback has to throw to win the game. And that's when guys are going to separate themselves. And so you can scheme it up and have a bunch of jet sweeps and a bunch of bubble screens and a bunch of things that make you have a 60% completion rating. But when you're down, in a playoff game, that doesn't really come into play as much. So I think we'll still be able to differentiate who the real guys are. I just think there's going to be more successful guys in the league. And when I was at ESPN, you know, they had total QBR. They mm-hmm. tried to do that, tried to measure, okay, you know, give him a little bit of blame for some of the sacks, give him some of the credit for the scrambling. And it's not perfect, but I always like it as kind of a nice sort of cross-check to see, okay, wait, this guy has a high passer rating and a low QBR. Maybe it's trying to tell us something and we should, you know, look at that more closely.
It's all very good stuff, Mike. We appreciate you taking the time to join us today. Thank you.
Thank you.
That is Mike Sando. Follow him on Twitter, at SandoNFL. And he's been doing this Tears column now for 6 years, and it remains certainly food for thought.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.